Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we're very grateful to be allowed the privilege of coming into this place. It's been dedicated, Lord, for your services, especially for the hearing of the word, which we trust, O God, is the exact word laid down by you through your prophet. And we believe it is, Lord. We can't prove anything of ourselves, but we believe it is right the way it is taught. And we pray, Lord, if there's anything wrong, that you'll correct us so we might have the right understanding. And we know that if we are determined to stand in that which we believe is right and we're wrong, then that is a very bad and stubborn spirit. We want a spirit, Lord, that is meek and mild and very one like a child that's teachable and trainable, Lord. So help us, Lord, tonight to know your truth, O God, and not the way we want it, but the way you want it, Lord. And that's absolutely possible because you're able to do that, Lord. You've always had a way to do it through the ages. You're always going to have a people that are elect and they'll listen. They'll have their understanding transformed. And then at this end time, of course, Lord, we know that there's a very special order of the hour. There's going to be a transformation of the bodies. People are going to get out of here, Lord, in the rapture. May we be a part of that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, very happy to have Dave and Ruth back. They kind of like missing an arm and a leg while they're gone, but so we're back pretty well whole again. Now, we're going to continue the unveiling of God, and we hope we might finish today and tomorrow what we have studied. Now, as usual, we note that this message does not deal so much with the revelation of God himself, but how our God is revealed to us, or how he reveals himself to his own. And we have seen that God's way in doing this never changes, making him, Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you'll notice that the emphasis on Hebrews 13 and 8 in this particular area is one that I don't think we would ever find in the denominational circles, in the books of theology. It's something that Brother Branham has brought to our attention. And at the point we left off last Sunday, Brother Branham was using Moses and Paul as examples of prophets. And you know the prophet is the highest order in the world, period. There's nobody above a prophet. That's shown how prophets could go before kings and just stop them in their tracks. Like Elijah went before the king and said, I'm going to tell you something. According to my word, there won't be any rain for 3.5 years, and there wasn't. And, of course, it was the word of God. It's the highest order there is in the universe outside of God himself. And God has used the prophets that they would reveal God himself to the people. He reveals himself first to the prophet, then to the people. So we're going to go back about 5 paragraphs from where we left off at. Just that'd be page 43 and paragraph 219.9. And think of it, the same pillar of fire that came upon those men that wrote the Bible. See, now, you notice he puts the onus, or the, you call it the onus, upon Paul and Moses and Paul in Maine as the great writers of the Bible, not minimizing the others because they were there too. But you'll notice those two are the ones that actually must receive acknowledgement, because the whole scripture is given to us in the first 5 books of the Bible, and anything else really is a further elaboration of it. And then you notice in the New Testament, Paul goes back, coordinates, and reveals what we already saw by the Gospels, and then begins moving down toward the end of time. Of course, John comes on the scene after Paul is off the scene, and he brings the revelation, which is the last book in the Bible. So think of it. The same pillar of fire that came upon those men that wrote the Bible is the same pillar of fire here today interpreting the Bible. Amen. Now, of course, that is not accepted by anybody but people like us. How we thank him for that, saying, what a comfort, what identification. Now, you'll notice as you read on, the identification is not so much identifying God to the people, but the people themselves being identified, which is really what matters. See, it's just like one person could own fantastic wealth, and maybe he had all the wealth. The question is then not the major thrust of the man owning it all, but can you be a part of it? So what would be the value of a revelation if it weren't to the end that the identification was for the believer? Now watch this.
I'm so glad to be identified in that. Now, speaking as a prophet, the same pillar of fire that dealt with those men is dealing with him, and I'm glad to be identified in that. I'd rather be identified in that than all Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, and all the rest. Identified in that word where the Shekinah glory and the revelation lies. Now, he's going to do a lot of speaking on the Shekinah glory, and of course, revelation is in here. The pillar of fire appearing visibly among us, identifying that the message is right, like he did at Mount Sinai. Now, of course, the thrust there is that God said, when I bring you out of Egypt, I'm going to bring you to this mount, and there you'll worship me. And there they saw the visible evidence that Moses had come with merely as a story, and said, I was on the back side of the desert, and there was a bush began to burn, and it didn't consume. Now, I went to that burning bush, and there was a pillar of fire in there, and a voice came out of there saying, I'm Jehovah. Now, he told me to come on down here and do these things, and then bring you on out, and of course, then we're going to go back to that mountain. Well, you know right away that the people weren't too impressed. Now, there were some Israelites that were very happy to believe that they would be getting out of there. But you notice that Pharaoh, Pastor Pharaoh, and his gang, his ecumenical boys, were anything but happy. Why, they said, that's just a cheap magician trick. Anybody can do that. And all this nonsense about a pillar of fire. Well, you know, all you got to do is have a few scoffers and it catches fire. And so I think maybe some of those Israelites kind of got involved too, where they weren't too happy from that time on. The pillar of fire appearing visibly amongst us. Remember, it appeared in Jeffersonville before 300 people, which was not the true pillar of fire. It was a reflection. Because only a prophet can see the true pillar of fire, which is God veiled in pure fire, like he did at Mount Sinai. Remember, before the true message came forth, Moses preached, and he led them out of Egypt. Now watch now. But there before the real commandments were laid down, and he puts inside quickly the seals brought in. Now remember, he's running a parallel, Alpha and Omega, one giving it, one interpreting. Now what is to be interpreted has already been given. In Moses' case, it was not interpreted, it wasn't given, it was about to be given. And notice the manifestation or the proof before the seals was this picture there, which is the same as over here. Now, there again, I realize people could say, well, that's up for grabs. Well, we believe it. But people don't have to believe it. We don't have to believe it here. We don't want to believe it. But we're convinced it is. God came down before the people, see, and proved that Moses was sent from him. Is that right? In a pillar of fire that Moses said he had seen in the bush and talked to him. See? All right. Now, you'll notice right here then, and keep this in mind, that Brother Branham is speaking of the seven thunders. Right? Seven seals. Yeah, because look at it. He said, that's what the seven seals were all about. Those seven thunders. Then I want to ask you a question. What was Brother Branham's message? Seven seals, seven thunders. That's why Revelation 10:1-7 is the seven seal. That's why I couldn't buy this thought that they had up there from New York, that there were seven messages by those men in the past. What do we need their messages for? We had them. You're already dead manna. What you had to do was to take what was right and bring it up. And when you did, you had that which is perfect was come. So how could the seven thunders be hidden in there and unrevealed, and yet hidden in there and unrevealed for this hour, if that was the seven messages back there? I never could figure out that stuff. I'm not here to worry about either. Why bother? Oh, in these last days to see the same pillar of fire right among us, speaking the same word. Now, is Brother Branham the pillar of fire amongst us, or was the Holy Spirit the pillar of fire amongst us? Now, if he's in us, that's not amongst us. If he's in us, that makes us a group. I'm talking now of the revelation of the Word coming. It's not the baptism with the Holy Ghost, it's the baptizer. It's the Word giver. It's an original. Okay. Same pillar of fire, right amongst us, speaking the same Word. What same Word? That Paul wrote. We're resting on that, see? Amen. Not only that, but interpreting it by making it manifest and proving it's the truth. Well, now, that's great. He says right here that he's interpreting it by making it manifest. Now, there's things in this Bible. What does it mean Elijah shall truly come? Well, it's been manifested and brought to pass. What does it mean the Lord shall descend with the shout, the voice, and the trumpet? Well, it's being manifested. We already know what the shout is and how it's come. What is it all about? Behold, I send you Elijah before that great and terrible day of the Lord. What does it mean, the Son of Man revealed? What do a lot of things mean? That have been set forth by our theologians to be absolutely the perfect word of God. Oh, yes, amen, this is it. What if you change one word? Which changes the thought. One word changing without changing a thought. That'd be all right. But the minute you begin using one word and it changes the thought, you're out, period. Because he goes back to thought, and word becomes a manifestation of that thought. You're going right back to the heart of God and trying to change God. The only begotten in the bosom of his Father. How can you change him and his word? Then you change the Father. You can't do it, see? One God. Okay, now listen. Proving that is the truth, see? Then to believe this will be total separation from unbelief. Because unbelief is where the word has been tampered with. It's been changed. Then if you've got the perfect word revealed, you have perfect truth, and you're totally separated. Now, that's very good. Let's take another point there. Paul the Apostle mentions that the faithfulness of God is all the more clearly seen by our faithlessness. People changing that word. They haven't got the right revelation. Again, Paul mentions he lives by the faith of the Son of God. Now, let's find where we can take the same thing and bring it up to our very particular order right at this very minute. Now, Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We also live by that same faith. Because Jesus had the faith when he said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. And he knew that he was coming for a bride. Now that's the faith we're living by. Don't you try to muster up your own faith and think you're going to make it on something. You better rely on his faith, because his faith works and yours doesn't. Yours is fallible. You can even take the faith of God as a gift and blow it. You can take anything and blow it. And the only reason today that we have the perfect revelation is this. Absolutely, he will lose none. For the scripture says at the end time, mankind is going to be so wrong, wrong, wrong. He said, except I send Elijah, I just wipe out the whole kit and caboodle. So, whose faith are you living by? The faith of the Son of God. We are looking right now by the fact that our high priest is there, right on the throne. I found that another place too. Right on the throne, and the Holy Spirit came off the throne and came down here. So, my. He that started salvation is ending it, and he's making sure he's going to take us up there and be with the one whose faith is broken through. You have to worry about yourself, brother, sister. You're out of the picture. Get a picture of Jesus. I want to tell you, when Moses walked to that burning bush, Moses was out of the picture, except God was happy to give him a picture, and Moses happy to be identified in the picture. Now, we're doing the same thing right today in this closing time. Notice. Oh, yeah. It says now, so the people have not one way to disbelieve. Lest they just willfully want to. Now, how would you and I want to? There's no way. The reason we don't want to is proven by the fact we're here. Trying to get closer to God. So the people have not one way to disbelieve. Lest they just willfully want to. And that's like the man said, there's no light out there. I'm going to go in the basement. Shut the doors. There's no light out there. I told you about a very wonderful man. You wait till we read the scripture if I ever get that far. explain this wonderful, wonderful brother. He said he never seen a miracle. His own wife got healed watching Oral Roberts on TV, and she had tuberculosis. Well, man alive, if I had tuberculosis and suddenly no tuberculosis, nobody did it but God. You mean to tell me that you hadn't seen a miracle? You talk about it. I stab needed. Maybe the fellow had too much poultice, the denominational kind. He had the wrong bread. Yeah, that's true. He that sins willfully after having received a knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. All right, now just go, I want to go back here, like I mentioned this lovely scripture I had for. I didn't realize I had it so close in my notes. We're going to go to Matthew, the 26th, 28th chapter, the very last chapter of Matthew. So this is helping, so if people seem a little bit, not anxious to embrace the message. Don't feel too bad. Just wait your turn up. Verse 16 and 17. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, how in the world could they be with him and doubt? But he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And anybody can be a doubter. Not everybody can be a believer, but everybody can be a doubter. But thank God your doubts can go and vanish. Maybe some of these folk here were almost fully virgins. Maybe some of them were foolish virgins. Some maybe doubted. Walked away. I'm sure none of the disciples did, because we find they're all accounted for. Okay, reading again. Oh, in these last days to see the same pillar of fire right among us, speaking the same word. Now, reading again, which I read just dozens of times concerning the Logos, the subject Logos in the church order. Now, we say this with reverence and love and respect. See, as Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And also that in the last days, as it was before Lot's time. Now, he's combining the two. One, he's giving you a scripture, and one, he's giving you an illustration of the scripture. The scripture is Hebrews 13 and 8, and the illustration is Genesis 18. Or in Lot's time in Sodom, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man reveals himself again, revealing himself. Now in this last days, the Logos that was upon Jesus, which he has become from that back to the pillar of fire again, and has descended down on the earth. I was going to say something, but I watched the tape. They wouldn't believe that if I told you. It wouldn't make any difference. See, that's page one. The people wouldn't believe it, but I'll admit that. But it's come down like an investigating judgment goes on. Talking about that, and also those like they call UFOs. And now this great pillar of fire that's absolutely identified, even by scientific cameras, that's here on the earth today. And there's a picture of it over here, hanging there. I believe it's still there, isn't that right? It's still there, scientifically proven by the best we got. George J. Lacey, the head of the FBI for fingerprint and documents, said, I called a psychology myself, Reverend Branham, but said the light struck the lens. I put it under ultra-ray lights and had an examination here 4 or 5 days. The light struck the lens, and this lens won't take psychology. Now that's identified. Now when it's identified, the next thing is, check it out. There are lots of things can happen. Then watch the work of it. It among us proves the same Jesus that once lived in Palestine, the same Spirit was upon him, has come up through a body until it's come back to headship again, which he's coming soon to claim the body. Now, you know that Jesus is not a pillar of fire as a body. That is Jesus. We talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the man that bled and died for us. When you talk about Jesus here, the pillar of fire, that's Jehovah. Never had a beginning, didn't have an end. Amen. The head's coming to the body. You get it? That'll be the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the I Am, Rose of Sharon. He said, when that Spirit of Mischief becomes incarnate to us, crowning King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that'll be the Son of God, Son of David, you know, Holy Ghost, all those things, right in there. Now, he says here, it among us proves that same Jesus, same yesterday, day, and forever, has appeared to the Gentiles, and is doing now in the form of the Holy Spirit what he did when he was there in a human body on earth with Israel. And he said, the head's coming to the body. Now, he came up what? He came up from the cornerstone, the rock of offense. And remember, the cornerstone that was rejected has become the head. Now, you see, they rejected the revelation and rejected God. And the same God, the same revelation, is right back here again, the same as with Moses and the same as with Paul. And he's doing it the same way, the way of a prophet. It's the same one. You can't get away from it. The body's up there waiting. Now, he's come all the way from the corner to the capstone spiritual. Pretty soon, he's going to be reincarnated, and we're going to meet him in the air. And the body physical will join to the head physical, just like the pyramid Enoch built. We find that pyramid, and everybody get the headstone on it. Why? The headstone's yet to come. 7 steps of the pyramid. We'll go through that someday. Now notice on American Dollar, the Great Seal, and so on. Return of the page here. Now that stone would not fit down there on the bottom foundation. Neither would it fit on the second foundation. It only fits on the top foundation. When the entire building is fitted to the stone. That's right, Jesus cannot come until it's all over. And he could not appear to the Gentiles until in this hour here. And Jesus cannot come until the church of body believers. And the ministry that he once left will have to be the same then as it was then. He's going to say to the Jews, no doubt. In other words, Matthew 12, Matthew 4 has to take place when Christ comes to the Gentiles. They without us are not made perfect. Paul said in Hebrews, without us they cannot be perfect. They must have this ministry to raise up the Lutherans, the Wesley, and all down through the ages. When that comes, when that part where the eagles gathered, just where the eagles, the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered. And that was the question. What about the low, are you the Son of Man, or is the pillar fire Son of Man, and so on. Now, I'm going to continue reading here what we covered before in the third Exodus, and page 39. So that is the way it is again today. God is calling his elected people, and they are elected now. Why? Sure, because the very elect cannot be fooled. Now they are elected for what? For a resurrection. And what a sign is he showing them? What sign are they getting? Resurrection sign. What is that? He's doing the same works since he's come back from the dead. He's doing his bonner, showing his risen. Showing his risen physically and the complete spiritual, back to where he was. What was he showing then? Now, right here he's talking about Elijah. A delivering sign to deliver them from the bondage. A sign of power that could shut the heavens or blacken the skies. Now, you see, comparing Elijah, then and now, because, remember, we are not told it is Moses that God sends, it is Elijah who sends. As Moses led them out that time, it is Elijah ministry that does it this time. So don't get confused. You've got to put them together. Understand what Moses did, what this man did. Now he's showing the power of the resurrection of his son living among them to resurrect them from the grave. In other words, God in the form of sonship. The grave that we're in to a land that he's promised to us, resurrection sign, calling out a spiritual Egypt and spiritual Babylon. We had a spiritual resurrection. You know that, don't you? Knowing, let me say this quietly now and that you'll catch it. Doing it by the same system that he did at the beginning. Same thing. He's doing. Blinding the eyes of unbelievers, opening the eyes of believers. And notice, politics doing it on the intellectual side. Politics in church. Politics and nations. Everything on the other side, hidden from them, a spiritual cause. God took one man in the wilderness, trained him up and brought him back and took the thing over and brought the people out. See what I mean? He cannot change his program. He's God. He'll never deal with the group. He never did. He deals with an individual, as he did, and he will, and he promised even in Malachi 4, he'd do it. That's right. Now, you cannot get people to believe that. There's no way. They say, look here, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm a child of God. I've got the right to be taught by him. And don't you give me this stuff. I need anybody but Jesus. Hallelujah. They're going to stand on that, and they'll die for it. Now, that sounds like a pretty wonderful testimony. But you know it's just as rotten can be. Because it makes God a liar. See, God says you do need Elijah. Well, you say, I don't need Elijah. Who's right? You or God? You see how really Brother Branham had to to press this so hard and just be as forceful as he could. Like he even said at the end time. He said, I held your noses and forced the medicine down your throat and you spit it back in my face. And they thought that was a big joke. Well, if that's their idea of jokes, it was a mighty big joke. So there's his promise, what he was. Promise what he said he would do, and here we are. So what he is, what he would do. Now, who is it? What's he doing? Is it the way he always did it? Are there identifications? If there are, that's it. What are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for this. You're just like the Pharisees. You made up your own desires. You're gone. Well, you might as well go out you just might as well go. You're already out. See? What a people, happy we should be, giving them the sign by his promised word sign, promised word. Now that's a great sign, is the great word fulfilled. He promised he would do it. He shall restore the faith of the people, the hearts of the people back to the faith of the original Pentecostal fathers. He promised to do it, showing his signs that he would do it, see? And as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Well, has he come or hasn't he come? We say, well, I'm looking to see that this and that. Well, what about that? See? What about the fact we're going up? Not so much him coming, it's us going. Well, he's coming down too. That's called the second coming. Now, don't get banned. Don't get off in semantics, but let's understand this. He only comes down certainly. In fact, he only comes into the dimension we know as clouds. And what way is up? And when it comes right down to the very great things of science, nobody can prove anything. They do the very best they can. But what can you do? There's things they don't know of. They're surmising about the black holes and all these things. They might turn out to be green holes or something. I don't know. In other words, don't be too sincere about the scientists. Be very sincere about God. In other words, never make fun of God, but you can make fun of the scientists. Because we can have a little joke the odd time. Now it says here, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the man. What kind of a sign did the churches see at Sodom? What did the intellectual church see? Two preachers. What did the spiritual church elected, Abraham and his group, saw God manifest in human body of flesh, of human flesh, that could discern the spirit and tell what Sarah was saying behind it. Now that was Brother Branham. Pillar of fire in him. God in the prophet. Now you see, there's another thing. People just don't like that. They just don't want to put God, the supreme being, in a person. Well, why not? If one God wanted to do it, who's going to stop him? He showed he could do it by going in a prophet, then the God prophet came. But people are very hard to convince. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall be in the coming Son of Man. We see the Holy Spirit among us. Now, this is his quote. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. What is it? We see the Holy Spirit among us. That's the coming. Doing the same work. These pages are kind of mixed up, but I'll get there. See, the Holy Spirit among us doing the same thing, working in human flesh. It's the hour, see. We're just here, friends. That's all. The Exodus is on. Now, this is your assurance if you come out that you're going in. Now, remember, a voice from heaven said, come out of her, my people. And remember, Hebrews 12 said he speaks one more time from heaven. But the voice is on earth. And the thunders are on earth. And everything starts to shake down. Okay, but notice now, he did it then by what? Notice and put on your spiritual thinking. May the Holy Spirit just lay back the old cap of indifference now and look close. God ever makes a decision to do anything one way, he can never change it. Then he talks about how he met them in the Garden of Eden and Israel under the blood of a lamb. And he's not in denominations. It's under the blood where the life is. Now, God chose in the days of the Exodus. He called out a group, and out of that group, I want you to notice something. He only got two that went to the promised land. What did he choose to take them out by? Politics, organization? He chose a prophet with a supernatural sign of a pillar of fire, and the people wouldn't be mistaken. What the prophet said was the truth. God came down in a pillar of fire and vindicated himself, showed his word. Is that right? Now, he's telling you right there that the prophet saw the pillar of fire, nobody else did. Then God came behind and allowed the pillar of fire to be seen, proving the word of the prophet. In the meantime, fulfilling all the words that God had spoken by the prophet. Now, remember, Moses said many things that were not written anywhere, because Moses had to come out and write them. And a prophet can go on the scene and also speak many things that are not in this Bible, but are contingent to it to prove his point, because if it comes to pass, then you listen to that man. Amen. Now, you cannot get rid of the system. You cannot get rid of the system. There's no way it can be changed. Now, if this prophet should not be the right prophet, then the right prophet has got to come. So don't be fooled there and say, well, but you know what they all are. They just put on one side. Oh, of course, they've got that time-worn excuse. Well, we know there was God if he came to us. Well, I can tell you one thing. I would almost say I'm sure it wasn't God if he came to me. At least I got that much brains. Like, he came by the prophet to us, and we appreciate that. Because his brother Branham said, stay away in the pillar of fire. I go for that. Yes, sir, I do. All right? He chose a prophet with a supernatural sign of pillar of fire. The people wouldn't be mistaken. What the prophet said was the truth. God came down in a pillar of fire and vindicated himself, showed his word. Is that right? That's what he brought, his first Exodus. His second Exodus, God always goes in threes. He's perfect in threes. You all notice my preaching. Always in threes and sevens. Seven is completion. Three is perfection. First, second, third, four. Oh, so everything. Justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, so on. Notice what he did. Notice, what did he do with the first Exodus? He sent a prophet anointed with the pillar of fire, and he called the people out. That was his first Exodus. When Israel's time was up, he sent again a prophet with the pillar of fire. That's the God prophet Jesus. John saw it, descending from heaven like a dove, and he said, I go to God, and I return to God. After his death, burial, resurrection, Saul of Tarsus, on his road to Damascus, saw the same pillar of fire. And him being a Hebrew, well taught in the word, said, Lord, who are you? He knew it was the Lord, that pillar of fire. He was a Hebrew. He said, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus. Now remember, the pillar of fire was a dove that came down to Jesus. John saw it. The second Exodus, he brought a prophet anointed with his son, God prophet. Moses said he'd be a prophet. He had a pillar of fire and did signs and wonders. And that same prophet said that whosoever believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. There's more than one meaning to that one, as you well understand. And here he promised the same thing in the Exodus in the last days. He cannot change it. By scientific proof, by the witness of Spirit, by the work of the Spirit, we see it today. The great pillar of fire moving among us. Now, William Branham said, I am not the pillar of fire. And he said, the Son of Man is not the pillar of fire, and I am not the Son of Man. He said, it is in the form of the Holy Spirit, which absolutely shows it will take a prophet to bring into manifestation the Spirit of God moving. Brother Branham is just like a reflector, because a prophet is a reflector. Pillar of fire moving among us. And the signs and wonders of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, calling the people from denominationalism into the presence of Jesus Christ to live, going to land. No mistake, friends. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just your brother. But it's what God's proving to you. That makes it the truth. Same pillar of fire he used for the other two, he brought it among you today and proved it by scientific ways. Right here and here, the camera, of course. As you know, Life Magazine packed it last month over there. How many were here and heard me tell about what happened before it did? I think, but everybody in the church, there it is. They don't know what it's all about. Science is trying. Anybody got a picture? Call in. The people called in, you see. Cloud 26 miles high, shape of pyramid, seven angels represented in there and brought back and brought you the Word of God under inspiration, tells you these hours that you're coming and living in. The spiritual mind will pick that right now and get it. It's an Exodus. And they say that's part of it. We're going to leave one of these days, thanks be to God. Notice a pillar of fire that called them out, led them to the promised land under the anointing of a prophet. Okay, a pillar of fire standing at, a pillar of fire that they could look at led them to the promised land under an anointed prophet. And they constantly turned him down. Is that right? Sure. Is Methodist right? Baptist, Catholic? Come out of it. God is right. How do you know? Let every man's word be a lie and mine the truth, said God. Come out of it. What do you know? The same pillar of fire, the same anointing spirit leading to the promised land. That's exactly right. That's where the Son of Man comes in, the anointing spirit. In the prophet. Notice, led them, brought them out, led them to the promised land, Israel, the nation, the same God, same pillar of fire. When you read George T. Lacy, let me know, you read where George J. Lacy examined the picture for fingerprints, head of the fingerprint departments and documents. There's his statement. Someone says, a double exposed lens. Tens of thousands of people looked at it with their own eyes. We stood here and looked at it. You've looked at it. They said it's an optical illusion. What did Mr. Lacy say? The mechanical eye won't take psychology. Wasn't an optic illusion. It was there. The same pillar of fire. Now notice how the emphasis always lies there. It's the same pillar of fire, or he's not the same yesterday in prayer. See, it won't work. You've got to bring it right into the present existence, and you've got to identify in the immediacy of what God's program is. If you can't identify with the immediacy of it, in other words, your stimulation or revelation and realization, it just comes to the place where this is it. Like Israel moving down to the Red Sea and just going across. See? Now, 400 miles out of Tucson, 6 months before it happened, 400 miles out of Tucson, rather, F-O-R, not F-U-R, in 100 miles out of Tucson, 6 months before it happened, we told you by the Holy Spirit I was going to be there to pick up the news. Because the pyramid writing on the outside, that's Brother Jackson's dream, see. As the brother had the dream interpreted. That's the entire interpretation. Now, the entire interpretation of Junior Jackson's dream was that he would go out west and come back with the revelation that had been hidden. Now, all the mysteries of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost has been explained. Now, picking up the loose ends of that which is concealed in the seven seals, not the seven churches, the seven seals revealed the mysteries. And then he opened this thing up at the top and found rock in there, white, but it never been written on, is a mystery. Go to Tucson, foretell it before it happened. Stand north of Tucson. Witnesses standing here. When a blast that shook the mountains off the ground almost, at the same time a circle light hanging in the air, that when the scientists took the picture now, 26 miles high, about five times the distance of fog or anything could be, and found out they couldn't even find what did it. It shall be light about the evening time. The path to glory you'll surely find. If you're elected, that seed falls upon dry ground or upon rocks, it'll never do it. Nothing. Hard, stony hearts that want to be indifferent, but it'll fall upon the soft, mellow ground of faith, it'll bring forth a Christian bearing fruits of the Spirit. Notice how that God did that. Now, he's the same pillar of fire that's vindicated. Somebody said, why don't you go tell those scientists about it? Do you think they believe it? Cast not your pearl before swine. Jesus said not to. I have no leadings to do it. Yet living right in the city there, where they were calling for it, I thought it'd go down. The Holy Spirit said, stay away. It's not to them. Go back and tell the tabernacle. All right. It'll come to pass. If what they say comes to pass, then remember, I've spoken, the Lord said. See, before it happens, there it happens. Listen to the Bible. It's the voice of God calling to you in this day. Now, of course, we have such a plethora of spiritists, and carnal people who deal in ESP and all that sort of stuff and tricks that people don't listen today. They say they're spiritual-minded, and they are to the degree that they want to be sympathetic, empathetic, and loving and everything else, but they simply cannot go to the Word. When it comes down to the real solid Word of what it's all about, they shy away from it, and that's the way it's supposed to be. That's all right. I want you to notice this. Same pillar of fire is leading the people again to a promised land. Now, it doesn't say the prophet's doing it. He said the pillar of fire is doing it. Now, you remember the time of Joshua, after Moses had gone, and Joshua took up leadership to lead them in. There was one came down in the form of a man, amen. And he said, who are you? He said, I am the captain, Joshua. You're second in command.
Amen.
So our second in command is gone. We've got the first in command, and we've got the word, so no one needs to lose it. See? Want you to notice, the same pillar of fire is leading the people again to promised land. The millennium where we found under the inspiration of the sixth seal that's never been taught before, how the earth be purified for the millennium. The pillar of fire is leading them to millennium. As Brother Brand said, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. Now, the question then comes up, what if he leaves the scene? See, here's the constant nagging you have with those who don't who do not believe the presence as we do. Now, if you go to the meal offering, you'll find that Brother Branham, Elijah, the meal offering, you'll find Brother Branham mentions that the one that came down, you know, and was seen by many, many people, he mentions his wife, Meta. They weren't married at that time, I'm sure. That he mentions that she did not see it. Of course, she told me her eyes were closed, but she did hear the voice. Later on, she was able to see the reflection of the pillar of fire. But the people saw that reflection. And then he said he went up. But you'll notice that Brother Branham categorically stated concerning the seals, that one came down. There it is right there in the cloud. That's when he comes down on earth. But at the same time, he also said, I was not the one who appeared there at the river. I was only there when he appeared. So what do you find? You find coming more and more from the negative to the positive, more and more in a complete relationship with the bride. And anyway, up in all these things are merely dimensions. So he said here, the pillar of fire is to lead us. Well, what would happen with Brother Branham gone and the pillar of fire gone? How well are we going to make out? Because he said he's supposed to lead us.
Amen.
Now, if he says the preacher, the pastors, and those men are, they are ordained, they're commanded. It is there, God-given, and God-demanded, and God-enforced later on down the road for judgment, ministries to lead the people through and to help them. Then what would the Holy Ghost be sneaking off for? Pardon the expression, but that's what it might amount to. I don't believe for 1 minute he's gone. But neither do I believe people tell me they have the pillar of fire. I say, that's when I want to get out of the picture entirely, because I know I don't have it, and I know they don't have it. And they don't have it just because I don't have it. They don't have it, period, because that's the Word of God. Now notice the pillar of fire that led Israel from the bondage in that Exodus, the pillar of fire, under the leadership of God. God was the fire, and the pillar of fire only anointed the prophet. He wasn't God, he only anointed him. You catch that? God was the fire, the pillar of fire only anointed the prophet. I am not the pillar of fire. I'm not the Son of Man, the pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. Then what was it? Anointing the prophet. Revealing. Manifesting. The word of a man won't do what William Branham's words did. There's no way, shape, and form. I mean, let's face it. I don't care what kind of a program you tried to pull off. The pillar of fire was to stand as a heavenly witness that Moses was called out. You remember Dathan and them, they said, well, we ought to start an organization. Moses, take too much upon yourself. You try to say you're the only holy one amongst us. No, Moses did not say that. All the congregation, the Lord is holy. Well, they'd better be. But that doesn't make them prophets. How can you take this upon yourself? And Moses fell upon his face and started weeping. And God said, separate yourself from him. I'll just open up the earth and swallow him away. Type. How could... See, type, see? How could Moses told them that he was telling them what God had said, God bidding him to be the truth? Even Miriam, the prophetess herself, and Aaron laughed at Moses for marrying the Ethiopian girl, making fun of him. And God got angry, speak against his servant. What did he do? Call him out of the tabernacle door. And Miriam, when she was a prophetess, but Moses was more than a prophet. More than a prophet. Well, John the Baptist was more than a prophet, too. How come? William Branham more than a prophet. How come? Introduction, pillar of fire. What it was. See? He said, don't you fear God? If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, speak to him in visions. Now watch this. And make myself known in dreams. But not Moses. See, what about Moses? I'll speak even apparently. I'll make myself visible and talk just right back and forth. Well, Paul did that. Moses did. William Branham did. See, well, William Branham, he just made that up. And, of course, God smeared him across the road to get even with him. Oh, they got everything going for them. They think. I would say they got everything going against them. Man. Said, don't you fear God? And she was half dead with leprosy that minute. You know that. Didn't he say, John the Baptist, you go to see a prophet? He's more than a prophet. Why, he was more than a prophet. He was the messenger of the covenant. The ark that blended those two dispensations. And now notice that. He was the ark. What's the ark? Where the word is. Now we're going to get that in the unveiling back if we ever get there. We better get there. Because I don't want to take any more time this weekend on this. Blended the two dispensations. And who stood here and blended time and eternity? Brother Branham. Aspirin, commercial, whatever it is, Mothered, I want to do it myself. So the old girl gets miffed. Everybody wants to do it themselves. It's the strangest thing in the world. How come if the Christians are the way they are, these millions that want to do it themselves, they get all this confidence, how come there isn't just more and more and more seeing the manifestation of God in gifts and miracles and all those other things? They don't have half what they think they got. If they got anything at all. Kind of like a bankrupt science. The dipping needle goes in the wrong direction. And today what we have amongst us, this great Holy Spirit, is more than a prophet. It's God manifested among us with his word to prove it. Does more than a prophet. 1,000 times more than prophets do. That's right. So he's talking about the great Holy Spirit is the great prophet. Like I said, in the beginning was the prophet. The prophet is God and the prophet was God. But, watch that. Elijah, the one of the greatest prophets of the age, only did 4 things supernatural in all his life of 80-some years. Elisha, a double portion, did 8. We've seen thousands of times with our own eyes. Now, that's not a subtle form of building the man up. That's just letting you know, hey, boy, if you want to talk, we'll talk. You think you talk Bible? Let's talk Bible. Let's see where the where the cookie crumbles here. Come on. Scientific search taking it to the world, knowing that they're going to be judged by it. Now, they don't know that they're going to be judged by it as though they did know, but they're going to be judged by it. We do the knowing, and maybe deep inside they know too. What did that lamb do? The angel of the Lord, which was Christ. Do you believe it? St. John 6. All drinking this water, having a big time rejoicing, said, I'm the bread of life that came from God out of heaven. I'm the rock that's on earth. They said, now we know you're crazy. You're crazy. You got a devil in you. You're a crazy man with the devil. People get a spirit on them. Sometimes they get very actively religious. They said, why, you're a devil. You got a devil in you. You're a Samaritan. You got a devil in you. And here, you're not even 50 years old, more than 50, and say you've seen Abraham. I can see him take a couple of steps back and say, I am that I am, before Abraham was I am. That was a burning fire, that pillar of fire in the bush. When he died and rose on the third day, and Saul met him on the road down, he was back to that pillar of fire and said, I come from God and I go to God. When Peter's in prison, the pillar of fire came and opened the doors and took him on the outside. That's right. Now, there's nobody going to tell me and you that that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the baptizer. See, he brings you right down to Peter. Now, where did that pillar of fire lead them? Now, remember, Moses was not the pillar of fire. He was the anointed leader under that pillar of fire. And the pillar of fire only vindicated Moses' message with signs and wonders. You follow now what we're really getting into? The unveiling of God? And that pillar of fire led them to the land that God promised them, where He Himself would be made flesh among them someday. Right? Mm-hmm. Is that right? What's He doing now? Could be made flesh to us again. What did they do? Murdered and murmured and squirmed and everything else. To show it was under the blood of an ordinary lamb. Now that murmuring is repining. Which means they long for the good old days. I could no more long for the good old days than nothing. You talk about the day and I was in a kid in the Depression. Buy a wagon load of groceries for $5 and I didn't have 50 cents. You can have the good old days. I want today. I can get on to $1,000 and buy $1,000 today and praise God I can do it. That shocks you. You're a little bit stupid. I'll be honest with you. You don't understand. Those days I didn't have a nickel. They aren't good old days. I was back in Pentecost. Like Tommy Osmond wearing his britches out, whooping and hollering and dancing. And squirming on a chair, what good did it do? Those aren't the good old days. You can have them. Those are the good old days that produce blasphemy. I'm not interested. These are the good old days. The good new days. Sure, we're not putting new patches on old garments. Phooey. Burn up those syphilitic clothes from your spiritual philandrons. You talk about what's worse than AIDS. There's hope for the aid case. He may finally see the mercy of God, but you ain't going to see religion get rid of him, brother. Because religion's a blasphemy by the Antichrist. Sure, let's pin it down where it is. But this time, glory to God, the pillar of fire we see among us, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium, where we will return to His people in that great millennium reign after this exodus, where we'll live eternally with Him. He always has the word of the Father. All always proves that it's right. So we're going to the rapture. We're in an exodus, and in leaving and turning the tapes off, mode, oh, my friends, my brothers, both present. He said, we're going to be finished, he said, pretty soon. I don't know when he finished, it doesn't matter. Let me, as your brother and citizen of the kingdom of God, say, come out in this exodus. For all that's left behind will bear the mark of the beast. Come out of Babylon. Come out of this confusion. Come out of these systems and serve the living God. See, he's out of there. Let this great angel of the covenant, Jesus Christ, in the form of God, thought it not robbed to become equal with God. Now he's a pillar of fire in the same form that he was back there bringing the first exodus, bringing the second exodus, and here he is in the third exodus. Here he is. Now, brother, sister, you know that that's not what people think it is. We're getting down to who is here. What is going on? What's doing it? The first exodus, what did he do? He brought them out of a natural land to a natural land. The second exit, he brought them up from a spiritual condition into a spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, he is bringing them from a spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost right back into the eternal land of the millennium and the great hereafter. Now, can't you see what he's talking about? It's only for those full of the Holy Ghost, but the one that filled them is here doing it. Now, he wasn't doing it before. There's no way. Because if he was here doing it before, he'd have done it.
Right.
Luther would have been that prophet. We'll get to some of this later. Just keep these things in mind. Now he's bringing them from a spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism gives way to the Holy Ghost himself, right? Right back into the eternal land of the millennium. That's true. You say, well, I thought the fire was going to do so and so. It's not going to do it. It's going to liquefy, purify, and bring it right back. We never did have all this water to begin with. All you fishermen are going to be out of luck. Ha! Never could stand that scaly stuff on my mitts. Can sure eat the fish if you clean them, though. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I used to get kind of beaten down in my soul one time about all these guys hunting honey. And I know it's great to hunt because it's good for you to do it. It's really good. I'm really all for it, but I never was. I got the feeling one day, and I suddenly remembered, hey, Jacob wasn't a hunter. And his hunting brother went hunting, not in the happy hunting ground where Jacob went. He went to the unhappy hunting ground. So I thought, goody, goody, gumdrop. He's got room for everybody. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. And the hunters and non-hunters. Well, I would have been a hunter if I'd have had something other than a bunch of arid condition to hunting, where if you saw something move, you knew it was nothing but a twig in the wind. Same pillar of fire by the same anointed system. Same God doing the same things. And the same word declared the first one, declared the second one. The same word that declared the second one, declared the third one. And here we see it among us. Now, he wasn't talking by himself. Come out. Oh, come out of this chaos. Come to the living God. Come to the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And now he's in our flesh dwelling among us. That's true, he is. And if you are full of the Holy Ghost, you will see that he's here. That he came down to serve the living God. And he prayed. Okay, now we get back. Notice, the same pillar of fire sent to Moses and to Paul that wrote the Bible, now sent to reveal it. That's today. Now watch this one. The grace of God, the unchanging God, fulfilling the promises of Luke 28, lo, I am with you always. Everybody else says that's through the seven church ages where he was the Son of God, Holy Spirit. Now we find out Brother Branham puts him down that this end time, a Son of Man, revealed in the Word of which you always, refers then to Jesus Christ as saying, yet the Redeemed forever, which refers to Genesis 18. Compound meaning again. Well, you say, I don't believe that. You don't believe nothing. I just get tickled pink. I get one of those nice salmon-colored pinks, one of those blushing rose-colored pinks. I get every color tickle pink thinking about the scripture. How beautiful. Well, of course I feel great about it because it, I believe what the message says here. Fulfilling John 14 and 12. The works that I do also. He quoted that a while ago to a group. Then brought it down to this end time. Listen, brother, sister, get this flat. I called my son out of Egypt and brought a whole bunch out. Then it came definitively to one person, Christ.
Amen.
You got the same thing today. The group gives way to one man. Follow? Oh, people don't like that. They're going to say, Brother Bale, I dispute your theology. Well, go ahead. Dispute it. I don't give a rip. I dispute yours, too. What do you got? Your own fat-headed solution based upon a lot of reading. Fat. You and your reading. Keep reading. One of these days, you go up in a cloud of smoke. I didn't say pillar of fire. Just slipped out. Came out so fast, I don't know where it come from. But it must be all right. Don't feel bad about it. Luke 17, 28, 20. In the last days, the Son of Man will be revealed. See, Malachi 4. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Restore the faith of you back to the original word. It lays the whole thing out there. Revealing God, revealing the word, bringing you right back to serve the living God, take in. Oh, my. Now listen, he died to reveal himself to us. He died? Yes, he did. Except a grain of wheat, fall on the ground and died, abides alone. It took Jesus Christ to die in order to bring his revelation. Because he said, my Father revealed it to you, and that set the premise he would still take a spiritual revelation, which could not come unless he went away. He had to die. He died to reveal himself to us. Now let us die to self to reveal him to others. Now, how do you die to yourself? Get rid of your own thinking, your own ideas. He says it. Let's die to traditions and things and reveal them to others. Die to denomination to reveal them to others. In other words, you haven't got a prayer as long as you're taking the denominational veil to hide Christ in. You bet he's hidden. Then split the veil and watch what pops out. Not Christ, a denomination. Ha! What could denomination do? Like we read the last time in the unveiling of the mighty God here, where Brother Bradman said, they said, you've got to belong to a denomination to be a Christian. He said, I'm a Christian, I don't belong to any denomination. He said, the doctor said, God took this cancer on me. Show me what denomination does that. Like that Mormon guy I told you about, and had a couple of Mormons visiting me. I maybe should have let him in, give him the old 1-2, 1-2, but I just chased him off, sort of. Wasn't nice about it. I said, no. I said, boys, let me tell you. I said, I lived in Canada where the Mormons were, and I'm not happy about them. I said, we just lock horns here and get nowhere. And I'm busy studying for tomorrow anyway. So I got my own church. I'll tell you one thing. Their church is wrong. Shoot. Well, like one fellow said, if old Joe Smith actually saw all those those manuscripts written on sheets of gold, it would take at least a big ox cart to pull them gold sheets away. I don't say an angel didn't come and tell him. I'm pretty sure he did. Pretty sure he did. We got some Mormons amongst us too. They're pulling us. I don't think they're doing, but they're doing whatever they're doing. That's their business, not mine. Notice. Let me see if I got my notes in here now. I notice the old temple had in it the Shekinah glory. Now, he's getting to this kind of Shekinah glory. Pillar of fire, Shekinah glory. Same thing. Now, not a couple of them. and the light of the Shekinah over the Word. That's exactly true. What was the mercy? That's where God came down between the two cherubims over the mercy seat. What was the mercy seat over? The Ark of the Covenant. What was in the Ark? The Word. Right? Okay. So, the Shekinah over the Word. The Word is the seed. Now watch this. The Word is the seed. It brought forth the showbread to believers only. Now the showbread is what the believers eat and live on. Like the priest did. We're priests and kings unto God. And he said, here, now listen, he said, the Word is the seed. Now sower went forth to sow and sowed the Word, right? Now he's talking about getting something. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. So therefore we have a spiritual bread, a spiritual manna, that is made from the Word of Almighty God. Now he said, the light is over. That seed. And the seed, of course, will be turned into bread for you and me. Now the blood also was upon the covenant. That's had to be shedding the blood. The light over the Shekinah glory wouldn't do you one bit of good. You couldn't get to it. Couldn't get help, couldn't get anything. You had to have blood to go in there, right? Okay, there's a covenant made there. Now remember, even the blood of the covenant, Hebrews 12 tells us that. And also they sprinkle with blood, the people, the word, the whole thing. There's got to be blood brought in. Now watch. The blood also is upon the covenant. And notice, the blood is the water that quickens the grain, the wheat, the seed, which is the word. Now he's telling you something here. See, the blood is the water. Okay? Let's keep reading. I could go into that, but I'll just leave it be. Like Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the brass serpent, and then again he said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, who shall believe in him should not perish. Moses smote the rock in the wilderness to save the perishing people, to bring water. God smote Jesus to bring forth water. Sure. The Spirit out of him for perishing people. The blood came from him, which is the water of the washing by the Word. That's right. Because he was the Word, and the blood came forth for the atonement of sin, and from it came the life whereby we're born again. See, the whole thing working in here now. Now, which is the water of the washing by the Word, which the water brings life to the seed. And so there you are, seeds, yourself. The Holy Spirit brings life to it. Now here's the seed for this hour. The Holy Spirit brings light to it. Now, if you've got life in here by the Holy Ghost, when this comes to light and life, you'll see it just like that. Because you why? You come from the same source. How can Christ be in you and just be Christ revealed and you deny Christ? So then you see the blood isn't, he hasn't even a veil for you. That's why they get together and say the blood's off the mercy. Like I keep saying, I don't even talk about that. Because you turn this down, what have you got? Well, I'll tell you what, you got a judgment against you. Because now it's treading underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ and counting it a despicable thing. And people say, that's not true. And then Jesus lied when he said, if I had not done the works, no other man did. See, they had not sinned, but now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. And you tell people right now. And say, I love the Lord. In fact, I'll tell you why I hate the stuff you call healing. It's because I love the Lord. You talk about cooped up. Oh, brother, sister, caught right in adultery and in the night. Let me tell you something. They will meet those words on judgment day. And let me tell you something. Those poor, foolish people that say that, the men who taught them from their thinking will meet their own thoughts that speak louder in heaven than those words did there, because they got them from the thoughts of those men that kept their mouth shut. Most men don't pop off. Oh, you get a few nuts that do pop off. But I'm going to tell you what. It's your indoctrinated fundamental organizational person that is the guy that pops off because of the brains behind him. They think they got the answers because they think it's going to take a smart brain to figure this out. It won't. See? And now listen. The blood came from him, which is the water of the washing of the Word, which water brings life to the seed, and it brought forth the Shekinah glory. Sure it did. Who's behind it? The light. That same life is here. It brought it down her. Now the same one is shining on his word, which brings forth bread. So he's saying right here that Shekinah glory, which is the glory attended upon the person of Almighty God, came right down here through the light upon the word by manifesting it. It hits your heart. You look right back and begin eating this word. Said that's it. Getting ready for the journey. Remember, Israel ate what was prescribed to get them ready for the journey. They just didn't shed the blood. They ate the carcass. Where the eagles are. Where the carcass is. That's the clean eagles, not the dirty ones. This is Luke. This is Luke 17. And the showbread was just for a chosen people. That's right. Only the elect is going to believe. Now, breaking into the veil, through the veil, that's going through your own veil, into the word that has been veiled in a prophet, but seeing it demonstrated, manifested, now you break into it. How? By believing it. See? Now, breaking in the veil, through the veil, into his presence, where the word is not the creed, the word, in there, seeing the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah of the power, the Holy Spirit shining upon the word, bringing forth the promise, shows you're behind the veil. In other words, if you can catch what the prophet is saying, and this is your understanding, wherein now you are being identified. That's it. Now, where's your sensations? The more sensations you've got, the more trouble you'll have getting to this. The least possibility you'll have getting to this. Why? Because you're depending on something. Not a revealed and proven word. Now, that's the only thing you can depend upon. What do you think the laws of the land, which type that are? Most people don't even know that this government and what's going on, everything is a type of his kingdom. Now, smarten up. Roll with the punches, or you'll get punched out one of these days. And I'm not going to be able to help you anymore than help myself. You learn the hard way. I'll try to bring you up sometime to message, but you know, I'm not a pastoral type of preacher anymore. I just want to help you along this line here, because look, the great shepherd's here himself. Spirit form. See? The thing is, you're behind the veil, the real veil now, where the glory never fades. See? I've crossed the riven veils where the glory never fails. Hallelujah. I'm living in the presence of the King. The old badger skin, denominations, has been torn down. I've broken through that into the Shekinah glory. And I see the Word. I see, now Brother Brand's own testimony, now we're identifying with it. I see the pillar of fire moving. I see the Word made manifest. What he said he would do in these last days, I see it growing. I see the church eating the Shekinah bread, coming from the ripening of that word, which believes it. In other words, it's getting ripe to you. Clearer. See? Drier in the sense, ready. More ready to get out of here. See? Amen. What a wonderful hour we're living in. See, the Shekinah was over the word, and under there was the bread, and there was a blood sprinkler which gave it water. The Spirit, he's talking about, he was released by the dead. Like water, because the rivers of water, see, of innermost being. The Spirit gives life to the Word. You see there, that Word must grow. In order to grow, it's got to be in the right kind of ground. Now, that's what Paul said, you're God's husbandry. Fell in good ground. See, and God makes a promise, and it hits that heart, it cannot fail. See, that's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to get you, and you won't even know a thing about it, just like the Apostle Paul. And you won't concoct that foolish Catholic doctrine said God struck Paul down and he's ranting and raving in his desecration of the church. So therefore the Catholic church can strike you down. In other words, they can make you, holler uncle. And get baptized in Trinitarianism and everything else. They pour molten lead in your gold and your... Anyway, they wouldn't pour gold, they're too tight. They'd boil you in oil or something. Like they tried John. They're too shrewd for that. Well, they won't do that as long as they can seduce souls. But when they can't seduce souls, you watch them do. You look at look what they do. You go down to South America and see what they do. Oh, they got two kind of mess. Don't let anybody ever kid you that they've changed. Ha! Come on. Brother Brandon said, there's going to be a repeat of all diabolical cunning at the end time.
Amen.
That comes out of Babylon, brother. All right. God made a promise, and it hits the heart. It can't fail. Now listen, I'm going to give you a little mathematics here. They really don't mean anything, but watch this. Noah waited 120 years. Abraham waited 25 years in the child. Add 25 to 90, 65, you got 90, right? I'm not saying 90 is for sure we see him face to face, immortal. But I just want you to notice here, brother, sister, things are moving in. Oh, I know this year it goes fast and look back, it's been kind of slow. You know, pretty soon, Brother Brand's gone 25 solid years. So what? You know what? I believe just like Jesus said. He said, this would have been John if you'd have taken it, but you didn't take it. And I believe a lot of people are dragging their feet somehow. You know, Jesus couldn't do many miracles because of unbelief. Brother Brand said people hindered his ministry. I know that's very true because you see it in Scripture. All right. Abraham waited 200 years. God said so, and that settled it. See, in other words, you're not depending on a time limit. You're depending on the word. One was 120 years, one was only 25. All right. God said so, that settled it. See, watered, the word was there being watered by faith. Believing it, it brought forth results. It brought forth the sun. It brought forth the rain. You know, that's under Lot, under, I'm thinking about Noah. Brought forth the flood. But under Isaiah, it brought forth the virgin that was conceived. I think he meant the virgin that conceived. But anyway, she was conceived, she came forth, who brought forth the virgin birth. Doesn't matter. Now, a prophet said, a virgin shall conceive. No doubt but what every little girl went and got her baby clothes ready. Well, this prophet Isaiah was identified, prophet vindicated to God, and the Lord said, by him a virgin shall conceive. I'm going to give him a supernatural sign, a great sign, a virgin shall conceive. And all the people, those believers, just like you all, they heard that prophet say that, and every little girl, every man said, that's going to be my daughter, yes sir. Everybody went and brought the booties and bird's eye and everything. You know, bird's eye is that loose, woven, thicker material they used to use for diapers. Now you got Pampers thrown away. And everything getting ready, because they know she was going to have it. That generation passed, they thought. That identified prophet vindicated God. How could he tell anything was wrong? It must be so. So if this brother Brand gone 25 years, what if he's gone 25 more? Well, some of us will be out of here. 800 years later, she brought forth the baby. Heaven and earth will pass away, and my word will not pass away. It'll come to pass on the last day, saith God. So here we are. See? The light over the word. Sure. The word, the Logos himself, was the light, and he was over the word. I stand behind my word to perform it. That's a written page, see? As the light of the sun changes a seed from glory to glory. Now, you know that's going to go like a lead balloon in a certain sense of the word. The light of the sun comes in the spring, little shoot comes up, oh, nice, nice. Pretty soon the brighter sun, nice, nice, nice. Pretty soon lovely flower, oh, nice, nice, nice. And pretty soon wither, 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 not so nice. But that's not it. It goes to seed. That's the nice part. See? So the glory to glory, people might not be too happy with that. But a farmer's not at all unhappy because he knows what he's after. And the quicker he gets that seed and the more of it, the better off he is, the happier he is. That's the way the Christians are, if you understand what's going on. See? Glory to glory. Now, we also become more like him as we live in his presence. It says so. Like him. Being conformed to his blessed image as we walk with him. That's your stature. Now, how do you get it? It's born in you by the Holy Spirit. And the more you lay aside your own word, your own thinking, the more that grows. And the more that grows, the more yourself is pushed out until he becomes the master of the temple. Watch what the sun does. You plant a seed, what happens? The seed rots. Uh-huh. Inside the seed is a life. The life comes forth and brings forth a stalk. Now, that doesn't look like the first. There's Luther. It was a stalk. All right? The stalk went on. The first thing you know brought forth the tassel. See? That was Western revival. It wasn't like the others. Then along came Pentecost revival. Brought forth baptism in the Holy Ghost. All right, what happened? We get fungus on the ear. It begins to look wrong. This thing, that thing. It didn't look like the word. Not like the rest of it. It's not like the original grain went in, but God is still there to make that. That's just the same. Notice, what does it do? It finally returns back to the original seed again. Now, nobody thought it would. Nobody believed that Jesus Christ must appear in the form of the Holy Ghost and do exactly like the original seed. But he did it because it's spoken of him to do it. He shall go to the Gentiles. In the form of the Holy Spirit. Not baptism now. Baptizer. Mm-hmm. At the end time. See? That's the Son of Man. He went in as Son of Man. He comes out to the Gentiles as Son of Man. And appears. Alpha and Omega. See? Now listen. When he came in the form of Martin Luther. All right, people say, just turn it out. Martin Luther was not a prophet. How do you mean his form? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about justification. And Martin Luther stood for it. That was it. The Holy Spirit moved. When he came in the form of John Wesley, sanctification. He came in the form of the Pentecostals. There wasn't one person led them, they just blew into it. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Three forms. See? Not prophets, not amen. He supposed to reveal himself again like the same seed went in. How did he go in? To the ground. The great miracle worker, the great prophet. Amen. He was the lamb, but he was a prophet before he was a lamb. The lamb was incidental, part of the prophet. Praise the Lord. See? He supposed to reveal himself again like the same seed went in, the Son of Man. He revealed himself Son of God through the stock age. and so forth. That's Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. But in this last age, he's to reveal himself as Son of Man again. Get it? Now, that's recognition. Means that you're getting it. Because the light is shining on the Word, and you're eating it, and it's becoming a part of you. It is your thinking. It's your understanding. It is your soul. It is your spirit. It is your life. You think you go someplace and tell people, hey, I want to tell you what. Everybody got to speak in tongues to get the Holy Ghost. Fap, you wouldn't believe that for nothing. Why, I quit believing that a long time ago. I saw a lot of folk no more had the Holy Spirit in heaven. So I don't care what they said. Just wouldn't work. All right, like the beginning, molded, that is framed in. And what does that stock grow? It's growing all the time. That little stock grows. Still, it's not like the original grain. Neither was Luther's message. See? See the form he's talking about? Not Luther, the message. No. Long came other messages. Finney, Sankey, Knox, Calvin, on down. None of them. They were still the message, but what it was, they didn't get the complete revelation of it because it wasn't time. Now, remember, Brother Branham says the shout is the message. He said the shout is the messenger. Now, the form is justification, and the form is Luther. You can't separate them. You can't do, brother, sister. Paul's gospel, Moses' law, Luther's message, Wesley's message, William Branham's message, Martin's message, Irenaeus' message, Columbus' message. All God's message. But remember, he only gave a part. And what he gave was right on, and what he left off, they just, you know, played around with the edges. See, they looked at it, guessed at it. That's what those seals were doing. They were the message, but what was it? They didn't get the complete revelation because it wasn't time. You can't put the ear on the corn before it's time to come. I'd like to get there and put ears in the corn. Where'd you get the ears to begin with? They'd be manufactured. Who done this anyway? Wouldn't do you any good. Ha! Somebody buy your crop? Why, a bunch of Japanese plastic. Well, they do make good things now. The old celluloid, you know, that's all we got in Japan, celluloid combs and things. Little funny faces and little trinkets and stuff. They've come a long way. See, it wasn't their time back there. Like Russia wasn't their time. Now it's their time. Japan's time. America had her time. She blew it. Russia will blow hers too. Oh, she already blew it. Way back under the Tsars. They're not going to get anywhere. Just a warlike people. Who needs it? Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. Put your trust in God. You can't put the ear in the corn before time. See? And then finally, there comes back again the original seed, and that went into the ground. That's exactly right. It was not hybrid. Okay. What is that all about? That's 1 Corinthians 13 and 9. When that which is perfect is come, that in part is done away. You're seeing the whole thing now, Christ in full view. Not under a chemistry, just looking at the blood now. That was great, but you're looking at him. Coming out of his word. See? See, God follows nature exactly. See, he was born a lamb. That's the reason he was born out in a manger. Lambs are not born in beds. He was led to Calvary. Sheep are led. That's right. Goats lead him to slaughter, you know. Those slaughterhouses. A goat leads them, but they have to be led. That's right. So he was led to the slaughter sea because he was a lamb. Everything identified him in nature. That's the reason he was born in March or April, not in December. He couldn't be there 20 foot of snow up there and so on. Now, notice, we got a little time left. Now to the perfect. After the stalk has been formed, after the tassel has been formed, after the grain has come into the cob, then it has to come perfection. In other words, all over complete, just exactly what God wanted, back to the regular grain again. And remember, the grain must be germatized. See? If you don't, it won't live. See? None of that was outside of those messages will ever come to light. When Luther came, it sewed up the Catholic Church once and for all. Oh, it doesn't mean a few won't come out, but it's gone. When Wesley came on the scene, the Lutherans were gone. When Pentecost came on the scene, the Wesleyans were gone. And now this is on the scene, they're gone. He'll still pull out one or two, but they're gone. Amen. They can't rise. Amen. They're going to form the, what would you call it? The dance of the dead, pretty soon. They're all getting together in their great big ball. And they'll anoint the Pope as the leader. Everybody's going to be happy getting together. Now, once more, we've got another Tower to Babel. The whole thing's a mess. But it'll all die because it's going to die. Nothing outside the mess will live. It has to be germatized. Remember, the same life that was in the stalk is in the grain. It's up here now. There's no difference in life. See? You're just maturing yourself right back. See? He's revealed himself what? Son of Man. The grain that went into the ground. Get the message? What is the message? It's the promise of this hour. What is the promise of this hour? He will reveal himself, manifest himself, Son of Man. He'll take a prophet. He'll prove it. Send the pillar of fire. The whole thing is in the works the way he always worked it. It's God just right back doing what God ever did. And you seeing it shows your event. Come on, he didn't go past Abraham. He didn't go past Moses and Jacob and those men. He's not going past us. Come on, brother, sister, time to just get out of your wheelchairs. You can't get to heaven in or whatever. On roller skates, you're old, but rather pretty. You can't get in your rocking chair or your wheelchair, brother, sister. Get out of your wheelchairs and rocking chairs and begin to stand up for the truth. That's enough for tonight that we rise at this time. Gracious God, eternal Father, we thank you for your love, mercy, and grace that you bestowed upon us, giving us the privilege, Lord, to come together this evening hour to meditate upon your word, to see, Lord, to hear, and to view again through the words of the prophet, recalling, recapping, revitalizing almost these things that transpired in our day. It's not another road to Emmaus, but it was a little sub-road to Emmaus, a little trip we took tonight. May we never forget, Lord, you're the same yesterday, day, and forever, that you are here doing it, and all your various manifestations, pillar of fire, Son of Man, Son of God, all of these things are just one God.
Thank you.
And whatever you're doing, Lord, and how you're doing it, that's your business, Father. We know what you're doing. We don't understand everything, Lord. We can't put everything together, but this much we have got together. You have revealed yourself in the last day exactly as you said, under the exact conditions. And we believe it, Lord, to the best of our ability. And Lord, we here, there, or whatever, we don't understand it, but we do know this, that you are in our day doing this thing, Lord, to get us out of here. And if we're not bright, there's a bright out there somewhere that is going to get out of here. But by your grace, Lord, and mercy, we believe that we are a part of it. Help us now, Lord, not to exclude anybody, but love and mercy and grace in our own hearts, as you had for us, just begin to lay ourselves open to believe for everybody, Lord. But also knowing this, we cannot, Lord, lay ourselves open to believe just any word. God, we've laid ourselves open. We believe right. Help us, Lord, if we're wrong. Correct us, Father. No matter what the cost is, just humble us right down, Father, to come to have such a spirit of grace and humility amongst us that it won't matter whatever it takes, whatever it costs, Lord. We'll just come to the place to confess and say the right thing, because it was so brought to our attention that was the thing to do, to give back to you that right confession. Father, we trust we are right tonight. Oh, God, help us. Don't let any of us be wrong tonight, Lord. And Father, as we partake of the emblems, we know this one thing concerning your death tonight and also foot washing, which means so much to us, Lord, in this last hour. Father, what good would that be if we're outside the ark of safety? But Lord, we're trying to be right. We know we're not trying hard enough, not doing enough, Lord, all those things you recognize. But Lord, we do know this one thing, not to make us lazy, not to make us foolish or silly in any way, shape, or form. We know that we do live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not ours at all. It's your faithfulness, Lord, that you're doing this. We're not doing it. But Father, we're trusting to be identified in it as the prophet was. We praise thy name in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. We're just going to read the scripture here, and we'll be able to take the communion together. We won't take any long dissertation on this. Just read the scripture. It'll be over here in the book of 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter, for I have also, 33rd verse, I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. Now remember what Brother Brand said about that blood now. This cup of the Lord, on which shall be given to the body of Jesus, but that man examine himself, and drink of that bread, eat of that bread, and drink of that cup. And he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation himself. In other words, there's a judgment coming up on him, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many, many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. When we're judged, we're not chastening the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. For my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. That he come not together, that you come together in a condemnation, the rest will I set in order when I come. Now, as I said before, you can absolutely see there's a blessing attached here. There's also a curse attached. It depends on the people taking the communion together, doing what the Lord set forth, to really realize what happened. Now, if we realize tonight what Brother Branham said, we take great stock in the fact he said, talking to us and to the Lord, that the people receiving this message for healing. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking for the actual life that was manifested to be here, which is here, that we have available to us, that we, by his grace and faith in him, because of his faithfulness, we would be anointed to believe him for all that we have need of, whatever it is. And brother, sister, when it comes right down to it, actually we don't have any other choice. So it's good if we be up and doing tonight and every day and every hour we live, to just recall this message and know that in this message, which is Christ himself and Christ revealed, Christ speaking, Christ breaking himself down to us, everything is in there. Our healing's in there. Our resurrection's in there if we die. Our immortality's in there if we live. The rapture's in there. The millennium's in there. Everything is in there tonight. There's nothing that's left out. All in all is here, and we know that. And I think we ought to keep that in mind as we partake in this hour. So the deacons come forward at this time. Be able to serve you the elements. Brother Mel, will you just ask the Lord to bless these this service?
Our righteous and heavenly Father,
yes, Lord.
So grateful to be able to gather again here tonight, Lord, to partake of this emblem. We ask, Father, that we bless the bread and the wine, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God, as we partake of this communion with you, Lord, let it do for us, oh, God, for that which it is intended,
Amen,
Lord. Lord, we are so much in love with you tonight.
Yes.
Lord, and we are so grateful for your presence now.
Lord. Yes.
Bless this service, oh, God, in your name, in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Just start coming from my right over here, if you don't mind. If you care to sing on...